everyone, and welcome to the Gosh Daniel Podcast, the podcast that likes to talk about their feelings.
This today is with a feelings me. Podcast.
Yes, today with me is Bob, my co-host.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hello, I'm Bob. Sorry. I didn't know you were going to say my name. I was just trying to jump in. I was just trying to keep it going. Did I ruin the I'm sorry.
No, you're amazing, I'm
doing,
okay?
Am I doing all right. Okay?
You're just doing really darn good.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Keep it up.
Yeah, my name is Bob, and I'm Bob from the podcast. It's the Bobcast.
Yay.
Hi, all you people. We're talking...
Okay, I'm going to take this one from you, just help you out a little bit.
Okay.
Today we're going to be talking about music, actually, because, you know, we need to diversify the Gosh Daniels genre even more, right?
It's such a broad thing already, but, you know, maybe it just needs to go a full 360 degrees. You know, we had a 180. It was pretty much a straight angle. We were just so diverse. Everybody could fit. But, you know, we just want to own the whole world. And in a lot of ways, we're like Disney.
Yeah, probably. I mean,
yeah.
Being compared to Disney is probably an honor, but
it's not an honor. Yeah. No, it's more of a curse. Like, you know, they're like, oh, you're such Disney people. You act like Disney. Well, then, you're as amazing as Disney, and we say it's our cross to bear.
Yeah, I mean, cool. But yeah. We're not here to talk about Disney. We're here to talk about.
Unless we're talking about Radio Disney, which I bet you will.
Radio
Disney. Knowing you.
Oh, yeah. I gotta love my Cheetah Girls.
I know you love your Cheetah Girls, Daniel. I know.
I guess, how are we going to go about this? I mean, to start off, just talking about music, some of our favorite bands, perhaps, I guess.
I'm sort of the music-y music person here. And,
you really
and
are.
Daniel's sort of he has good taste, but he's not really intense about it. So I might talk about favorite artists, and Daniel might talk about favorite albums. I'm not really sure, but I just want to make sure I can fit in the fact that Heartworms came out and I have a review for it. I just want
please,
that.
Please elaborate. What is this Heartworms?
Heartworms is life. Heartworms is my happiness, and Heartworms is something I've been waiting for 5 years. It is the fifth studio album to come out from The Shins, which is my favorite band of all time, led by James Mercer. It is an alternative band, some indie rock, stuff like that. But it's just very alternative, I guess. I don't know. It's very good, and it has a good blend of, like, synthy things and, like, completely just natural-sounding stuff. The lyrics really fit well with his music, though. I don't know, like, they just have a lot of meaning, but they're super, out there. So, like, you wouldn't exactly, like, upon hearing them think what they were trying to say. Like, he doesn't just go out and say the point that he's trying to make, but the way he writes his lyrics is very figurative, and once you figure out what he's trying to say, to me, that's just the epitome of, like, perfect writing, is just the way his lyrics work. And that's not something I've always appreciated about them. Like, I just liked their sound before I really started analyzing the lyrics. But that's probably enough of a tangent. Yes, Heartworms is the fifth studio album by The Shins that came out on Friday. And I pre-ordered it and got it a bit early, so I've just been listening to it all week. I've probably listened to it 20 times already. Yeah.
That's great.
That was a ramble that went everywhere and was awful. I'm sorry.
No, that's awesome, though. I think it's great that you've been, I guess, how long have you been following this band?
To be honest, it's something my dad used to listen to, and so I've heard it before. Like, as a kid, I heard it, and I never, like, really thought about it, and, like, it was something that sort of just, we got in 2012, okay, so back in 2012, so 5 years ago, they came out with their fourth album. And we got that, and I fell in love with that album, and then I went back and listened to their other stuff, and I recognized certain songs from it, which made it even cooler to me, because I guess I had heard them before, and I didn't really know that I'd heard them, I guess, because my dad used to listen to it. And so this was, like, just the most amazing thing ever for me, and I just loved their sound. And it was just some of the coolest music I'd ever heard. Then, yeah, like, later that year, we went to their concert at Red Rocks, and we did a bunch of cool stuff with them. And I've basically been following them ever since, to the point where, I guess, admittedly, I generally won't listen to anything else because I'm just too busy re-listening to the Shins. I've probably heard every single one of their songs thousands of times, except for, obviously, the new album, which I've only heard, you know, in the tens.
But That's cool. So when you say that you just really love the band, you mean it.
No, yeah, like, I'm obsessed. Like, you know how I talk about Star Wars all the time? If you bring up music, I'll talk about the Shins all the time. Just like if you bring up books, I'll bring up Brandon Sanderson all the time. There are a few things that I can't live without, and I probably should be able to live without them, but I can't. And maybe that's a problem, maybe it's not, I don't know. It's one of those things.
Well, that's great. I think that's awesome. I on the other hand, haven't had something like that. You know, for me, music has always been a very different thing. Like, you have, like, a history, and, like, that's gotta be really cool, though, listening to songs and then realizing that you kind of remember them, and that's cool.
Yeah, the thing was, I didn't really understand that I just listened to it before as, like, a kid. I thought it had been, like, on the radio or something, so... You know, when I found the Shins, I'd go talk to my friends as, like, this, you know, this fairly young kid, and I'd go talk to my friends and I'd play them these songs, and I'm like, see, don't you recognize that? And they're just very confused.
Wow, that's great.
That is something that happened to me many times. But, you know, Australia was a big song, and if you are willing to try something out and humor me for a little bit, just go look up the Shins and listen to the song Australia from their third album, Wincing the Night Away, which, yeah, just go do that and see if you know, I don't know. That song made my life better.
Yeah, when you introduced me to the Shins, I remember a little while ago, I thought they were really good. I'm not as, you know, attached as you are, I guess, but no, I appreciated it.
Yeah, you did. I have a few distinct memories of being really excited that you didn't hate them, because I guess growing up, I, you know, my favorite band as, like, a really little kid, I guess since I was maybe five, I used to really like Arcade Fire, and I still do. I just don't like their last album all that much, but I just remember...
Is Arcade Fire in the same genre as the Shins, you think?
Basically, yeah. I mean, they're obviously, the way that indie and alternative works, you can get very, very different sounds for what it is. It's not like pop music where it all just sounds like the same thing and it has the same chord progression, stuff like that. It's like they sound like just completely different genres within themselves, but they just each artist to me. But yeah, Arcade Fire is basically that same genre. I grew up a lot listening to bands like that, and I just remember, you know, like going to, you know, like a private school as I did, whenever I'd get the chance to share with somebody my music, they would usually hate it, and so I was just used to people disliking my music just as much as I disliked theirs. But yeah, I was really excited when you liked the Shins, and then you didn't really like them enough to keep listening, but I felt like it was a win in and of itself.
Yeah. I mean, that's just kind of like how music is for me. I'm like very... I'm not the most loyal music listener. I'll enjoy like an album, but I won't ever, like, really stick with a band for years, I guess you could say. Yeah. I'm very, just kind of, like, I don't know the word for it, but it's, like, not, like, you know, really sticking to things, I guess, and staying with them. And maybe that's why I'm just a bandwagoner, you know?
Yeah, that's usually what I consider you, though I think you do have good taste. It's just, you know, you get bored with that sort of thing. You know, you can't listen to the same thing over and over again.
Mm-hmm. But I did recently find... So I was scrolling through Amazon Prime Music or whatever it is. And I found this these people with weird haircuts on the front page, and I was like, who are these people? So I clicked on them, and I listened to them, and I really, really liked, like, the music, and because it sounded like 60s, 70s, old school style. Turns out they're, like, a band that formed in, like, 2012, I think, and with their first album, and they're called The Temples, and, yeah, I really like their music. I haven't gotten to that point where I'm actually, like, deeply assessing the lyrics, but the sound is really, really nice and appealing for me.
Yeah, I like them, too, when you introduced them to me. I thought they were really good. They definitely sound very 60s. Yeah, it was really cool to hear. They some of their songs remind me of, like, sort of Beatles-esque. There's this song, I guess, is it called Stay Out of the Light or Keep in the Dark or something like that? I don't know. I thought that one was really good.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, well, their most recent album came out like March 6th or something. So was that from the most recent album?
No, I think it might have been from something from like 2013, but
okay. Yeah. Yeah, well, I've been listening a lot to their most recent album. And it's weird because they are really good at like just really like as each song plays, it just kind of like the sound totally changes throughout, but it keeps like a almost the same rhythm, I guess. And so it just works really well, I think. But that's what I really like about them. They kind of sound 60s, which like I really like. And they also like kind of their songs change throughout and kind of like are just so different in like throughout. And I really like that.
They're really, really cool. I think that's just a great idea. Like, I just didn't really think about the fact that there could be a band that would, like, make music that sounds like it came from a different era. I don't know. That's just a really cool concept to me. Like, I guess it's the same thing as somebody making, like, 80s music now, which does sort of happen every once in a while. But it's just a really neat thing. I don't know. I just hope nobody makes 90s music still. That is a burn, like, and everybody who likes 90s music takes and needs to accept the burn, but don't get offended.
Yes. Please. Now we have more haters than we have fans, Bob.
It's all I've ever wanted.
It's kind of like Michael Bublé, I guess. You know, he does that kind of Frank Sinatra lounge singing type style, and he kind of took that from that era, and that's, you know, in the present day. If you think about
It's sort of the same thing, yeah, that sort of genre continuing on.
Yeah. The Temples is a good band, I think. Now, you know, like we said, we're talking about music, and that can just be like a really, you know, it can go all sorts of places.
Apparently it's a very mean thing for me. I'm sorry.
What?
Apparently it's a very mean thing for me, talking about music. I get very mean, and I just ruin people's lives. I'm sorry.
I mean, you get kind of vicious.
Please don't hate me, and I actually don't hate you if you don't like my music. It's okay. I don't seem like that, but I'm fine. I just need some time. I just need some space.
Yeah, well, we can also even talk about, like, music in movies. Like, that's been a big, you know, effect. Because, I mean, if we want to stick with our whole, you know, entertainment movie genre of the podcast.
I mean, if movie, I guess if that's a thing,
movies
then sure.
And music. Music in movies has been quite important, especially, I guess, in musicals and stuff like that, or even just, like, soundtracks of, like, you know, like, the background music in movies. I know there's, like, a good following for that. I definitely listen to soundtracks and, you know, scores.
All right, what soundtracks really like. Have you been listening to most recently, then?
Well, perhaps a little bit of some La La Land.
Caught red-handed. I win.
Yeah, just a little bit. I mean, it's just only the greatest thing ever. Wow,
debatable.
That movie is amazing. I saw it for like the fourth time. Yeah, and I still want to go back and see it again. Like, literally, it's like a whole new experience. And, like, you get something totally different out of it every single time. But this isn't a La La Land movie review. We're talking about music. Yeah, the music in that is amazing because it's like jazzy, but it's also like it incorporates a lot of some like old style like musical, and then yet it's modern. Yeah, show tunes, and that's modernized, but also classical, but also jazz. And it's just, it's like a beautiful combination of them all. And it makes you appreciate jazz more, for that matter, I think.
Yeah. I've noticed that, people seem to not hate jazz as much after La La Land's come out. So there's that. I like jazz, guess what? But that's only because I play jazz.
You know, that's so good. Whatever. But, Bob, you still haven't seen it. So
I still even haven't after seen that, it.
Yeah. Even after the episode where I tried to convince you, nope.
I mean, you have to admit you weren't very convincing.
I wasn't, but it was not my day. It was an off day, okay?
I'm open to seeing it. If somebody will take me to see it and I don't have to pay any money, I'll go see it.
Wow, that's nice.
I don't think it's going to be a terrible movie. It's just that I don't have a specific desire to see it. Or spend money.
That's cool. Well, that's nice. But moving on with music, I guess. So yeah, there's movies and music, and that's really important. Like, John Williams scores are legendary and will be forever, I think.
Wait. Wait a second. What? You only mentioned the La La Land soundtrack. You had this giant build-up about soundtracks, and there's only one soundtrack you listen to? Is that what I'm getting from this? Well, then share.
I was just changing over to John Williams in my amazing transition.
Oh, that's what that was. Okay.
Ruined.
So you listen to John Williams soundtracks, huh?
Yes.
Is that what I'm supposed to take from this? Yeah. Okay. Well, which ones then, huh?
Like every one, every single one.
You've listened to every single John Williams soundtrack. You listen to them all the time.
Like, The Book Thief and Harry Potter. And Star Wars and Jurassic Park.
Did John Williams do all of those?
Yeah.
Did he do all the Jurassic Park movies?
I mean, considering 2 and 3 weren't as good, I'll just kind of like, I don't know. I don't. John Williams only does the best.
Did he do all the Harry Potter ones?
I wasn't prepared for a quiz.
It's a quiz.
I don't think so. I don't think. Well, I know the directors changed in the last couple, but.
Do you know what this means, Daniel?
I don't know. I'm sorry.
This isn't anything against you. This is just me trying to prove the point that John Williams will only do what's amazing, and I want to bring attention to the fact that he's done every single Star Wars episode.
Oh.
And he usually doesn't do that many.
Yeah. Well.
I just want to talk about Star Wars again.
Oh my, okay, yeah, you talk about Star Wars.
Sorry, that was random.
Talk about it.
Yes. Yeah,
so. I mean, what's the Gosh Daniel podcast without Reese diverting to Star Wars?
Yeah, so, I mean, just thinking about Rogue One again, I mean, it was sad to not have John Williams do the score, but I really like, I guess his name is Michael Giacchino? Is that how it's pronounced? Something like that. But anyways, I like what he did with the soundtrack, and I think it works.
The Rogue One soundtrack? What?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I've been listening to that soundtrack. I've also been listening to a few Wes Anderson soundtracks. And the soundtrack for Better Off Dead, which is the greatest movie. I mean, yeah, if you weren't specifically talking about the soundtracks that you listen to, so I just figured I would try to divert it into something that's what we listen to.
Yeah, well, I've listened to all the soundtracks that I've named.
Okay, but, then. I mean, this is a train wreck of an episode, and I'm pretty sure...
I'm not a complete
fake. I don't even want to put this out, but yeah, that's cool.
Hey, we're about positivity at the Gosh Daniel
Podcast. We're
about
positivity, but I've been ruining it. I'm too excited about music, Daniel. I'm too excited.
All right, fine. Please give us your thorough review of Heartworms.
Yay, okay. So... I thought it was really good. It obviously had a different tone than the other ones, but that's just what you should expect. It starts out with a feminist piece, which me particularly not super fond of, but it's an all right song, and you can get into it after a few listens.
Gasp! Reese is not a feminist? Outrages everywhere!
I'm not a feminist, but I'm not, like, specifically against anything
Bob is
feminist.
Not a feminist? outrages everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not a feminist, but I don't like hate feminists or something. But yeah, so the first song is Name for You, which is that feminist piece, and I thought it was all right. I thought it was an okay song. It's got a very, I don't know, like the tone of this album is much more like upbeat in a way that at first seems like a like sweet. Like it almost feels like the tone of this album, if that makes any sense, at first tries to seem sweet and just ends up being sickly sweet, if that makes any sense. So it's like almost like what the artist is trying to say with it is like at, like so a lot of it's him looking back at him being a kid and him like growing up and stuff like that. And so it seems like he starts off looking back nostalgically and thinking like a nostalgia is sort of like a sweet thing. And as it goes on, he like realizes so sort of how, you know, his memories, you know, and how he remembers things isn't exactly how it was and that it wasn't all that great. And it sort of turns into like this sickly sweet thing where it's like nostalgia seems good at first and then it's really sort of not. And nothing in the past is any better than the future. I don't know. But yeah, so it starts off with Name for You, then it moves on to Painting a Hole, which might be the best song on the album, possibly. I thought it was really, really, really good. It's crazy. It goes all over the place. The lyrics make no sense. It's just a really crazy song, but the name Painting a Hole references the song from Spilt Needles, which is a song from their third album called Wincing the Night Away. And in that song, the lyrics say, I'm going to paint myself a hole and fall inside. And so it's a reference to their third album, the name of the song. Anyways, then the next song, do you want me to stop?
No, keep going. No?
Okay, the next song is called Cherry Hearts. That one's super, super, super synthy. And it gets really stuck in your head. It's not like a normal Shin song at all. I mean, Shin songs will get stuck in your head, but it's very catchy in almost a pop way. I'm not a major fan of Cherry Hearts, but at the same time, it's so much just better to me than every other kind of music, because it's Shin's. I don't hate it, and I don't even dislike it, and I don't even just like it. I love it still. It's just not like the other stuff. Anyways, then the next one is called Fantasy Island, and that one's a very depressing song to me for some reason. I don't understand why. And then after that, I think is Mildenhall. Do you like how I've just memorized the whole album?
I mean, considering it just came out, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it came out the day before recording, just so you know. Yeah, so the next song's called Mildenhall, and this talks about the entire, like, his childhood from about, he's 15, basically, and he moves to England, and then he starts playing guitar and stuff like that. And it talks about, basically, his influences and him, you know, starting to, you know, play music and that sort of thing. And I thought it was really good. It's got like a sort of Johnny Cash vibe to it, because it's just like, I don't know, it's just like a classic old country sort of song with like, you know, the lyrics just, you know, telling a whole story, and it works really well. It sounds really Johnny Cash to me. Let's see, the next song, sixth on the album, might be a song called, I think it's called Rubber Balls. That one is just a very interesting song, and not a very particularly wholesome song, but it's really interesting, and I thought, you know, tonally, I think it's got the best tone of any song in the album. I really like the melody, and I think that song fits together like a normal Shin song. If there is a normal Shin song, that would be it. After Rubber Balls, I think there's one called, I think the next one is Half a Million. I might forget a song somewhere in here, I'm not sure. But Half a Million has this chorus that sounds like everything else I've ever heard for some reason. The chorus just sounds like everything else, but the lyrics in that song, like, they sort of speak to me. It's basically he's getting stressed out with all the things he has to be, so he's talking about being, like, a parent and then being, like, a musician and how people look at you because you're a musician, and trying to balance those lives and then just saying, like, how basically music is his escape even still. Like, he's, you know, people look at him funny because he's a musician, but at the same time, music is his escape from that. And I thought that was really cool, and it's just an interesting way of putting it. The next one's Dead Alive, which he put out in October as a single, and that's my favorite thing of all time. That's the best Shin song I've I think that it's just the best Shin song ever, in my opinion. That one's really good. After that is, I think the next one there is Heartworms, which is the self-titled song, and that one is pretty stinking good. It's a debate, because there are a few songs I thought were really good on the album, and that was, I guess, Heartworms, Painting a Hole, Dead Alive. Those are all just really, really good and worth a listen. And I think Heartworms is just, I don't know, it's got a just really interesting tone. It starts off sort of more focused on the vocals, and then it sort of just develops its own just very interesting like melody throughout, but at first it doesn't really have a melody. I don't know, it's really weird, hard to explain. I think it's really good. The next one is called So Now What, which was actually a song they put out in 2014 and just put back on the album. That one's very good. It was from the soundtrack, going back to soundtracks, it was the soundtrack of Wish I Was Here, which is, I guess, a Zach Braff movie, which I heard wasn't actually any good. But yeah, the Shins always, you know, have, I guess, a soft spot for Zach Braff, because they got famous because of Garden State, because they were in the soundtrack to Garden State.
Wait, explain. So Zach Braff, or whatever his name is a director, right?
Yeah, and he makes movies or whatever, but he made this movie called Garden State, which people probably know about. I think it had Natalie Portman in it. And anyways, the Shins is a big part of that movie. Their first album is heavily in it and stuff like that. So they got their big break from that movie. So makes sense that they would release a song on a Zach Braff soundtrack.
That's cool.
But yeah, so they put that on the album. That one's classic Shins. That's another one that's just really, really, really good that I'm really into. Last is The Fear, which is almost like a bluegrass or folk song. It's got a lot of like strings, like violins and stuff like that, and it's a bit repetitive, and it's just him talking. I mean, it's called The Fear, so it's him just talking about, you know, being afraid, I guess. And I think it's a really interesting and good way to close out the album. He usually closes out the albums with just really reflective songs. You know, the third album ended with a song called A Comet Appears, which is my favorite Shin song other than maybe Dead Alive. I think lyrically it's my favorite Shin song. Then, you know, the last one, I mean, the fourth one, he ended with a song, I think he actually ended with Port of Morrow. And that one was also very reflective and talked about him being afraid by being a parent. Like, he's afraid about his child's future and stuff like that. And so The Fear is also, you know, sort of an appropriate way to end the album. But yeah, overall, I thought it was really great. And my voice is starting to hurt a bit because I've been rambling too much. Overall, I think the album might not be my favorite, but it's got a lot of really good things about it. And yeah, I don't know. I've only given it comparatively a few listens, so.
So, how many Lego pigs out of 18?
Oh, I mean, it's a Shins album, so it's 18 out of 18 Lego pigs. But, you know, that's the thing, though, is that some Shins albums would get more than 18 out of 18 Lego pigs. So, some would get about that much. It's about Wincing the Night Away, because Wincing the Night Away, their third album, had some songs that are, you know, some of the best Shin songs ever, like Australia and A Comet Appears, but then it'll have songs that just don't really fit and sort of pull the album, like, you know, hold the album back a bit. So, you know, it's something like that. So I'd give that 18 out of 18 as well.
Very cool.
Yep.
Well, thank you so much for your Heartworms review. And I'm sure, like, the listeners, like, they love that. You know why? Because people love what other people are passionate about. So thank you.
I hope you like that. And if you don't, then you could tweet me about it. Gosh, Daniel.
And if anyone got that La La Land reference, thank you. Heartworms. That's cool. I haven't listened to it yet, but I should now, because you made it sound really interesting. So.
I did?
Yeah, okay. You did.
Well, that's a, you know, new thing for me. Usually this is a boring podcast, so I'm glad.
Well, I mean, we can change, right? Podcasts change.
Podcasts change. People change. I can change. It's all right. Don't leave.
We can become cool and interesting.
I'm so lonely. Yay. Don't leave me.
All right. I mean, is there anything else you'd like to discuss about music?
Yeah. So you talked about temples. You talked about La La Land. You usually like musicals, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Let's see. I guess we could just talk about other bands. My second favorite band is Deep Sea Diver. Daniel and I actually both like that. That's a band I could say Daniel likes, and that would be true, right?
Yeah, I mean, you go running and Weekend Wolves all the way.
Did you just say Weekend Wolves?
Oh, Weekend Wolves. I see.
I'm pretty sure it's Weekend Wars.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, it is. I literally, like, made that up in my head. No, I think I joked to you about that.
It makes sense because in the lyrics they say something like, you've been howling for more. So I guess it makes sense that you'd think they said Weekend Wolves, but, you know, whatever.
I think I joked to you about that one time and it got stuck in my head.
Oh.
Because I remember you, and you had that, like, same reaction where you're like, I'm like, oh, wait, yeah, wars. And then I guess that just got stuck in my head.
That's funny.
Well,
I have no
Weekend Wars. Well, it's good that you don't have any memories of my mistakes. That's good.
Yeah, I don't keep a record of wrong, Daniel.
Well, that's great to know.
Yeah
so those are the two songs, I guess, on the Deep Sea Diver has done that probably my favorite. But
no, cool.
Okay, you want to go delve more into this?
No. I'm curious. Why are those your favorites?
Well, because I listened to them and I liked them.
Good enough.
That's what you get here on the Gosh Daniel podcast. Some really deep and explanatory stuff.
Yeah, I guess that's just what you need to expect. I mean, so that was from their debut album, which actually came out, I think, 2012, maybe 2011, called History Speaks. Now, what really is funny and sort of ironic about this is that the reason I like Deep Sea Diver and found them in the first place is because that band is headed by the girl, Jessica Dobson, who was the guitarist for the Shins in their fourth album. So that's how I found Deep Sea Diver. And then obviously...
Is she still the guitarist or no?
No, she left. She left the band to continue with so Deep Sea Diver. But James Mercer was on one of their songs in their newest album.
That's cool.
Yeah, he was on Creatures of Comfort in Secrets, and that was really good. But anyways, Deep Sea Diver is a band that's, I guess, more easily palatable to people. Like, if I share Deep Sea Diver with them, and they don't have a random hatred for her singing voice, then, you know, it's cool. Most people, people either love her voice or hate it. I think
it's really sound like you're speaking from experience here.
I am indeed. Yeah, I don't know. I show Deep Sea Diver to lots of people. But they're also really good. I've never seen them in concert. I've wanted to. They've been close. They've been so close.
They played like really close to where I lived, right? And you were like freaking out and you're like,
I don't know why you didn't get tickets. I think they might even still be playing. Like they might have, it might be like in a week, you know. They might be playing right now. Who knows?
They could be, and we wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know.
I would not know.
Yeah, but anyways, yeah, they have connections with a lot of bands I like. I guess I also like, obviously, Rush, which I guess I shouldn't say obviously because that makes no sense with, like, the rest of the music I like, because that's, like, classic rock. But I do really like, well, it's more than classic rock, it's progressive rock. But, you know, I really like that sort of stuff, and I think Neil Peart has some great lyrics, and obviously they're probably technically the best rock band out there. And I'm not saying they're literally the best rock band. I mean technically, like they are the most skilled rock band out there. That's still playing. The bassist who also sings, his name is Geddy Lee. For those of you who don't know, he's been sort of voted the best, like the greatest rock bassist alive. Several times. They're Hall of Famers and stuff like that. Yeah, they're really good. That's the one Canadian thing I could say I like.
But what about Justin Bieber, man?
Yeah, I just... No. Never. Under any circumstances.
Never say never, man, okay?
Oh, boo. That was actually good. That's sad.
Thank you.
That's very sad.
You kind of set that one up for me. I had to.
Yeah, you did. You did. I'm all right with it.
Yeah, that's cool. For me, I'm here, man, and I like music. That's just all I have to say. Like, classics stuff, like, I like classical music, and I like Patsy Cline, yeah, Frank Sinatra, yeah, man, I like 80s, 60s, 70s, I just said those out of order, but I don't care, yeah, probably anything but, like, kind of, like, now, like, the mainstream music of today, or, like,
yeah,
of the 90s and the early 2000s and mainstream, yeah.
Yeah, but it sort of died down. Just good music sort of died, except for, you know, in those indie and alternative places.
Well, I mean, those are our opinions, though. We could be talking to someone who's just like, what? I love mainstream. And we might judge you, but we'll try not to.
Hey, who knows? We might even have listeners who like Shawn Mendes. I'm not judging. I'm not judging. It's just, I mean, I think you're wrong, but I don't think that that's a bad thing. I think you can be wrong because it's a preference.
Yeah. It's okay after to be listening wrong, to his songs, after listening to his songs, I need stitches for my ears.
I can't handle pop, I can't handle rap, I can't handle hip hop, I can't handle how country is now. Other than that though, I'm cool with everything. Like, it's not like I'll love it, but I'm cool with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Other than those few things, which is most of the music world right now. Also, generally dubstep. Most electronic dubstep. Music.
No, but there's dubstep, and then there's house, and then there's trap. You gotta really decide.
I guess I do. I don't even know what you're talking about, but okay.
Because, you know, like, the EDM and the, I don't know, I'm sorry, my brother's really into, like, that stuff, and so he tells me all about it, and so, and it's great, and good for him.
Yeah, you can like that stuff, that's cool. You just, you know, it's not, it's wrong, but, you know.
It's not wrong, but,
It's not wrong, it's just, it's not right.
We had a good, great, thorough discussion.
Oh, wait, I thought of another band that we both like.
Wait, really?
Yes.
Okay, keep it going.
Fleet Foxes.
Oh, yeah, I've listened to one of their songs. Yeah, I liked
it. You like White Winter Hymnal. Yep. That's it.
Only because I heard the Pentatonix version first, and Reese was like, you know, that's like a song from Fleet Foxes, and I'm like, who's Fleet Foxes? And that's how literally I find every single band ever in that same scenario, just enter the band and song name.
Yeah, I feel bad I've dominated not only this podcast, but your musical tastes. I'm very sorry about this.
There's just so many things I didn't know.
We just learned things, you know? I'm learning so much about myself. You're learning so much about music. The listeners are learning how much they hate us.
It's
true. There's a lot going on here, guys.
Yeah.
Don't say we never did anything for you. I mean, you can say that, and it would be true, but I don't think I can take it.
Yeah, I think, okay, well, I think that Fleet Foxes has, like, their genre is similar to, like, the stuff that you like, right? It's just, it's kind of in there.
Yeah, I mean, they're technically in that genre, sort of. They're more alternative folk. They're like folk music. It's a little bit.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Some of their stuff is sort of bluesy. I don't know.
Yeah. But
yeah, there's a lot more strings. You won't get anything synthy from them, and it's all sort of like amazing harmonization and interesting lyrics. My sister and I like to call it monk music because it just sounds like something that I don't know. It sounds like it would have been from, like, in a way, it reminds me of like a new version of like the music middle, you know, monks from the Middle Ages would have been making. I don't know why.
I agree that I think that monk is music actually kind of fits.
It just, that's what it is, and they're also coming out with a new album in June. It's called Crack Up, and I'm excited.
Crack Up. Wow.
The last two albums were Helplessness Blues and Fleet Foxes. It was a self-titled album, but they were both really good and different.
Well, we have plenty of things to be excited about in terms of music.
This is a train wreck of a podcast, and thank you for listening. And if you didn't listen, thank you for giving it a try. And if you didn't give it a try, then you aren't even hearing this anyway.
How did you make it to the end?
How did you do it? I don't know.
Tweet us how you did it. Yes.
Tweet us how you did it at GoshDanielPod. Tweet us if you didn't at GoshDanielPod, and tweet us if you hate us at GoshDanielPod, and tweet us if you love us at GoshDanielPod. I'm turning it into a Dr. Seuss tweet book us. Here. But just tweet us at GoshDanielPod.
To finish closing up though, we probably should say that we have a Twitter, and that's why we want you to tweet us. So
yeah, we have a Twitter. It's called @GoshDanielPod. That's our handle.
In case you missed that,
you missed
from him
it,
saying it so many
we
times.
We want you to tweet us, and our Twitter handle is @GoshDanielPod.
Well, however you may be listening to us, we're on YouTube, iTunes, and Stitcher. Never forget Stitcher.
Don't forget Stitcher.
We have a Patreon @GoshDaniel. Right?
No, it's patreon.com/GoshDaniel. You're really close. Oh, yeah. You're really close.
I missed it. I mixed up @, and I'm so sorry,
everybody. If you
want
to send us an email, this is a new thing here. If you want to send us an email about like a podcast suggestion, because like you don't have Twitter, that's cool with us.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Our email is goshdanielrants@gmail.com.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. All lowercase. Goshdanielrants@gmail.com.
And yeah, you can send us an email from there. Please, nothing other than
wait,
people
we
just
also
talking to us.
We also need to thank our Patreons. I mean, our best friends.
Our best friends. We have best friends, and those best friends are Hunt the Bunt Gunter Schmunter and Myron Smith.
Thank you, best friends.
Don't know Myron very well, but Hunt and I are getting along swimmingly.
I don't know how Myron kind of got all caught up into Patreon. This.
Yeah, I don't even know if she listens that much, but I mean, every once in a while we'll get something from her, usually a correction on name pronunciation or, you know, comment or something, but generally not too much from Myron.
Yeah.
Myron, please, just talk to us a little bit more. It'd be great.
Okay, thanks, best friends. All right, I think that's all for this episode.
Maybe.
Right?
No.
Am I wrong?
You're wrong, because we forgot one thing. You know what we forgot?
No.
We forgot to edit the podcast.
Oh, man. Oh,
it's
shucks.
Not edited yet. We can't put it out. We have to edit it first.
Oh. Okay. Well, you better get on that we can.
We should probably
have
finish the podcast
to it.
And then I'll edit it. But,
well,
like, you can't hear
for
this
now,
yet. And if you're listening
for now,
to it, I
thank
edited
you,
it. So you say thank
listeners.
You.
For now, thank you, listeners.
I don't know.
And have a good night. And a good day.
A good night,
and
a good day.
Morning.
A good morning, whenever you're
in a
listening.
Way that you can sway through the days for yay, goodbye.
Or hello. Depends.
Are we done? Are we? Okay, bye.
Bye.